And I'm long and I'm strong and I'm bound to get the fiction on. So, fellas, everybody sang for Martin Luther King. That freedom rang. Oh, wait, something just popped out.
Is it in the right hole?
Wait. Is that how it works?
Yes.
Lower.
Every time. Yes.
Man.
Woo, this is America.
Then when she hit you with the wrong hole, you can see it in her eyes.
I tell legal lies. I tell legal lies.
Welcome back to another episode of Black Law and Legalize. You are enjoying the lovely voice of Afro Becky, one of the hosts of the Black Law and Legalize podcast.
Yes, I am Dan. Dan, I am. I don't eat ham.
Wait, you're still going with that?
I'm on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter and IG at I am Dan on Drugs. And you can also follow the show across the plethora of social media applications out here in this technology-verse.
Technology-verse.
That's right. At Black Law Podcast.
Hi, and I'm Just Dan, and you can follow me at I Tell Legal Lies on Twitter.
Ladies and gentlemen, we would love, we would love it if you enjoy the Black Law and Legal Lies Podcast for you to go right on over to the Apple Podcast app, hit that 5 stars, leave a little review, say something nice about us, even if you don't mean it. We really don't care if you don't mean it. Just don't say anything negative. But seriously, if you enjoy the show, show your support with a little bit of letters and words and stuff in a review.
Honestly, if you don't like the show and you think that there is something that we can improve on, drop us a line. We do accept constructive criticism.
Yeah, email us that. So, yo, we got a YouTube comment that says, Anne makes black people look bad.
It was the OJ episode. Now, y'all can holler and tell me or tell us if you think that that is true. Do you guys and girls out there think that I have a chip on my shoulder?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what chip?
I don't care. Whatever dude's going with, I'm going with that.
See,
too.
That's the thing.
I'm going with that shit.
What
too.
Kind of chip do I have on my shoulder?
All kinds. Fracture.
Most people who have chips on their shoulders feel inferior and think they have something to prove. I don't.
Hey, I'm just going with what homeboy said, man. You said you take constructive criticism. You said you're coming off like you got a chip on your shoulder.
No, that's not what he said. He was definitive. He said that I have a chip. So he acted as though he knows me.
He might.
I don't know who it is.
He might know you. You don't know.
He acts as though he knows me. So he said definitively that I have a chip on my shoulder and that I make black people look bad.
Yeah.
But in the end, he said I was the reason why he kept, because, and I believe he called me a pejorative said to
keep me on the show.
Because I make him laugh and I make him keep listening or something like that.
So, yeah, man. I mean, you know. I'm just glad that so many people take me as serious as they do, and I really do appreciate it. And ladies and gentlemen, in lieu of Afro Becky's hip hop knowledge, we're going to flip the script and we're going to do Dan's white people music knowledge. Hit me, Becky. What you got?
Number one.
Music is for everybody. It doesn't matter what color you are.
Oh, go ahead on, Michael. It don't matter if you're black or white.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for your first challenge?
Okay.
You're packed and you're stacked, especially in the back. Brother?
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Oh, wait, there's more?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Want to thank your mother for a butt like that.
I like big butts and I cannot lie.
Is that your
you
guess?
Other brother can't deny. All right, give it to me one more time. Recite it in real time. Like the cadence. Give me the cadence.
You're packed and you're stacked, especially in the back. Brother, want to thank your mother for a butt like that.
You know that one.
Brother? So they're looking, are they saying brother as in they're looking at a brother's butt?
Yes. You know that one.
Hmm.
Dude, you know, wait. Dude, you know this one.
I'm trying to think of songs that I know about men's asses. Hmm. Salt and Pepper? Really?
That is Salt and Pepper, bruh. Come on, man.
I asked for the cadence. Did she give me the cadence? No. Okay. Number two.
Here we go. This is starting number two. Before anything began between us, you were like my best friend.
You know this one.
The one I used to run and talk to when me and my girl were having problems.
Mm. Now look, Beck. Ursha. No, you need to do something better.
That's black people music. Mm-mm.
So you told me before we began,
there's no
I could do anything.
I know, but you're making it too easy. Does he make it easy on you?
Fine then. You know what?
What?
We'll do this again next week.
No.
When she has preparation. When she can prepare.
So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to be discussing today is actually, it's a favorite of mine. Let me tell you why.
I'm just about to ask, why is this a favorite?
I'm going to explain why. So, we have this mutual acquaintance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, their significant other would drive their vehicle through these car washes.
Oh, that's sweet.
With the shit that slaps. And now, let me tell you this. I do have somewhat of a history as far as detailing cars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, never drive your fucking car through one of these car washes that have the spinning brushes and shit, because essentially what it's doing is, we're going to do a little bit of science right quick.
Okay.
So what looks like soap to you is really acid. And acid is used to loosen up the debris on your vehicle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you go through and the little spinny things hit your car and those things are spinning to beating the shit out your car, right?
Mm-hmm.
They pick up some of the debris that were loosened from the acid, right? So then you drive through the end, it sprays water on it, you go out, and then sometimes you have the little dudes at the end that'll with the towels to dry it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's explain. Imagine, let me ask both of y'all too. Would you go take a shower in the shower with the same washcloth that hundreds of other people have used prior?
Hell no.
Becky. Okay, so that's essentially what you're doing with these car washes. You're dragging dirt that has been taken off of other cars and it's beating it onto your car, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this friend, I told this can't even call him a friend. This acquaintance. I told this acquaintance about driving through these car washes.
Mm-hmm.
But do niggas listen? No. Niggas don't listen.
See, really?
Yeah, niggas don't listen. So started to notice the paint was deteriorating, the clear coat. It looked a hot mess. So I said, hey, you're still driving through these fucking cars? Oh, I don't wash my car. Somebody else handle that for me. Somebody else handle my car wash. Well, you need to tell them, stop. So then one fateful evening, came outside. We looked at the roof of the vehicle and there was a big patch of paint missing. Looked like eczema almost.
Hmm.
Like,
so your acquaintance's vehicle had eczema.
Yes.
Mm.
Big old patch of skin missing.
Mm.
And I said, well, fuck. So this acquaintance says, oh, my God, I wonder how that happened. And their significant other was standing right there. So I said, I don't know. I wouldn't have a clue how something like this would happen. See, I'm trying to back up the significant other because, you know, I ain't want to throw this person under the bus.
Mm.
So I said, don't drive through these car washes. So fast forward, right? Get another call. Me and another friend, we get a call and it goes something like this. Hey, I'm on my way down to the car insurance people. For what? You get an accident? No, no. Something hit my car when the tornadoes came. I said, what? The tornadoes? You talking about that car wash damage? No, no. That was like a tornado. Because we saw the dents and something had hit. Like, they almost had me believing that, like, they were so adamant. I'm like, if they go in there with that attitude, they're going to get laughed out of this building. Ladies and gentlemen, this person goes to the fucking car insurance people who are trained to look at vehicles, and they should be able to tell the difference between a tornado hitting your car and user error. These people say, well, you know what happens when it storms, right? And these tornadoes come. Sometimes the plants, they just release acid. And the acid gets on your car and it burns your paint. Something definitely happened here. So then the acquaintance goes, well, I didn't see anything laying around my car. So I don't know if something hit it. No, because in these high wind events, it can fall and hit your car. And then the acid gets on your car. And then the wind just carries the debris away that hit your car. We'll take care of this for you. We'll take care of this for you. Ended up going in there with car wash damage, getting all this work done to their vehicle, and said it was a tornado. Ladies and gentlemen, I have just introduced to you Exhibit A, insurance fraud.
That sounds like a false narrative to me.
That's exactly what happened.
That's exactly what happened. That sounds like a false narrative. Absolutely a false narrative.
Is that not insurance fraud, though?
All right, so let's talk about insurance fraud in the state of Louisiana. So as far as really any sort of fraud is a deliberate action. It's a deliberate act. And in the state of Louisiana, and I'm sure in other states as well, insurance fraud is a felony. So when we say fraud is a deliberate act, that means it's intentional. So you intend to gain via deception. So financial gain via deception. So in your story, did your acquaintance tell the insurance company that something fell on the acquaintance vehicle and acid was poured on the acquaintance's vehicle?
I wasn't there.
No, well, according to your story, from what I heard.
I can tell you what the acquaintance told me.
All right. So what did the acquaintance say happened?
A tornado hit their vehicle.
So the acquaintance told the insurance people that a tornado hit.
to the best of my knowledge. We had a weather event. Okay. There's no denying that. Mm-hmm. We had tornadoes in the area.
Absolutely.
The acquaintance used that as an out.
Wait,
for the eczema.
Did the acquaintance say that they went into the place and said, tornado hit my vehicle?
No, they went in and they implied that the weather had something
to do. How did they imply it?
By saying, hey, we had all this weather. And then I came out and I looked at my car and the eczema and the swirl mark.
Okay, so we share this acquaintance, and what I was told was that the acquaintance went into the claim adjuster and basically said, I don't know what happened. And the claims adjuster looked at the vehicle and said, looks like something fell on your car and cracked the paint. And once the paint cracked, the water and wind in this Louisiana weather made the paint peel back. And then the insurance adjuster says, also, you know, even though companies are not supposed to, they release things into the air. And when you have wind and water events,
so like air contaminants, like storms, basically.
When you have storms, the whatever is been released in the air comes out in the rain onto your vehicle and can cause residue to sit on your car, which causes damage. And basically, then he says that's a coverable incident. So where in that narrative?
Okay, here's a few. Here's a few things. Mm-hmm. Being that, you know, this is kind of one of my things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's contaminants in the air at all times.
Correct. Right?
The best way to protect your vehicle and mm-hmm. that showroom shine
mm-hmm.
is to wash the bitch by hand.
Okay.
So I'm going with user error. Even if these contaminants did fall out of these trees in the sky and the sky was falling, Chicken Little running around
mm-hmm.
and the tornadoes, I'm still going with user error.
Okay. So what though was fraudulent about what your acquaintance did? Because as we just, I spoke about
deliberate,
like 2 seconds ago.
Okay. Here's
this
how.
This is, fraud is an intentional
mm-hmm.
act,
mm-hmm.
right? And it includes a deliberate deception against the insurance company.
This was. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you how. Because, again, said acquaintance was made aware of the severity of the damage prior to the weather event.
All right. Well, let me just...
So they knew what was going on.
All right, let me throw this out there, though. So most people who have full coverage,
mm-hmm.
if a rock hits their windshield.
Not covered.
If a rock hits, well, road hazard is covered if you include it in your coverage.
Still got to pay a deductible.
Okay, all right.
Deductible costs more than a new windshield.
But so let's say, well, maybe not the windshield. Let's say rock hits the body of your vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Puts a big dent in it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say somebody keys your car.
Mm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you rub up against something and it scratches the paint. Your comprehensive covers that, correct?
Now, if we're speaking from a place of
that's a yes or no.
If we're speaking from the place of an established adult that does things the right way,
mm-hmm.
probably. If we're speaking from someone like me who gets car insurance, drives off the lot, and then cancels it, probably not.
Right. So we're talking about someone who has comprehensive coverage.
Okay.
So it covers it.
I think it depends. I don't know.
I know as far as my insurance goes, Geico covers it. They will cover if your paint is damaged by road hazard or somebody keying your car, anything like that.
Wait, hold on, because I had Geico. I still have Geico. Becky, let's bring you in on this, because, mm-hmm. you know, this is actually one of your specialties, damaged vehicles.
Hey!
Becky, do you remember when those jackass kids keyed my car? Jesus Christ. Okay.
Sorry, I don't remember when they keyed your car.
My car was parked out back of my mama's house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was maybe a little feud with the neighbors, with the Section 8 neighbors.
Okay.
And
why do they have to be Section 8?
Because they were on Section 8. And thanks to me, we got Section 8 banned from that community.
How was it thanks to you?
I got the whole homeowners association turned upside down, got a new president, and because the lady
once
wasn't
again,
doing
you're
shit.
You're an anarchist.
Fuck yeah. Because look, we had cameras, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a camera aimed down at the vehicles after the incident between. So I'm like, well, shit, I'm going to put a camera up here, watch mama car. So anyway, I'm like, come out one night, probably about 8:30. And there's a fucking gouge going across my trunk, like from left to right.
Now I remember.
Oh, now you remember.
Yeah.
And then it was a gouge going across my mama's car. Same thing from left to right. It's like they walk by both cars and just
did. Mm-hmm.
So first thing I do is I go run back to cameras and I see them little badass Section 8 kids out there.
Did you see them key the cars?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I did. So they were out there. They didn't use a key, but they used some kind of contraption device, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So did see it. I took that video. I need to do some research trying to find out about the HOA
mm-hmm.
because mama was renting in that neighborhood. So I'm trying to figure out who is, like, where is this HOA? I know everyone pays their dues and shit, even the landlord. So holla at the landlord. I'm like, yo, need to talk to the HOA. They was like, for what? I was like, I'm worried about all that. So I did one of my, Becky will tell y'all about my letters. Becky, tell him about my letters.
Oh, his letters are infamous. They get shit done.
That's
like,
right.
People react. Like, I'm surprised that we don't live in a bigger house because
of my letters.
Of his letters. He could have so much shit for free.
Them letters.
Because of them letters.
Them letters. I'm telling you. Oh, I wish I would have came prepared because I could have told y'all what I got with my letters. I got Section 8 banned from that neighborhood.
Oh, Jesus.
I got one of Becky's neighbors locked up.
No, not locked up.
Well, kicked out. I thought they locked his ass up too. That's the one where I perjured myself in court.
Yeah, you got him evicted.
Yeah, I got his ass evicted. Crazy drunk bastard pissing in the hallway, flashing his dick at people. I almost killed him too. Oh, Lord. But as my attorney, she advises me against saying that I almost killed him.
Well, you know what? It's too late because you already said it.
Yes.
So you didn't listen to your attorney's
advice.
There's
so many things that he said on this show that I have advised against him saying. Just saying.
I got a brain. So anyway, wrote the letter to the head of the HOA. Head of the HOA basically said, fuck you.
Right.
They were old. She was like a 90-year-old lady, and she was just collecting the dues, and paying the minimum. Like, she was paying groundskeeping, pool maintenance.
What'd she do with the rest of the money?
Nobody knows.
She's probably living off that shit.
Probably so. So I said, okay, let's shake this shit up a little bit then. So
did you run for head of the HOA?
I couldn't.
Oh, because he was a renter.
Right. Well, my mama was.
Yeah.
Becky, they tried to get Becky at our condo to run too. That so anyway, shake it up. So landlord, like, yo, look, this old ass bitch ain't doing something. We need to do something about this. I'm getting the authorities involved and I'm getting the attorneys involved. And then I sent the landlord, I faxed him a copy of the damage estimate. Mm-hmm. Now let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, these body shops,
they got
outrageous. Mm-hmm. Like, for the amount of work, like, honestly, for this acquaintance's truck that we're going to get back to, it's probably about $200 worth of work. The estimate was like, what, damn near $2,000, mm-hmm. something like that.
It was a little bit over $2,000, right?
This was like $200 worth of work. So I looked at the key card and I'm like, that's going to be probably about $300-$400, right? I went to one of these big name body shops. I got a quote. I want to say the quote was like $2,000, mm-hmm. or more. Mm-hmm. That's just for my vehicle. So, mind you, mama's vehicle is out there too. So we're looking at $4,000, mm-hmm. worth of damage. Mm-hmm. So sent them to faxed them over the estimate. I'm like, look, this is the amount of damage that was done. Now, of course, estimates makes that shit look like it was horrible. Mm-hmm. So he was like, oh, wow, I didn't realize it was this bad. So they called an HOA meeting. They got that old bitch the fuck up out of there because apparently other people in the neighborhood had been having problems with her.
Right.
But they didn't know how to go about, because a lot of them were younger families, they didn't know how to go about getting her the fuck out, mm-hmm. of there. So got her the fuck out of there. They hired a company that specializes in...
So basically, it's a management company.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So management company came through, and one of the first things, I think I made a suggestion maybe, like, you know, peaceful neighborhood, and we have a trap house here.
Like, really? You told the people a trap house?
That shit,
really?
Was up, Becky. Becky, jump in anytime.
Really?
Becky, was that not a trap house?
It was a trap house.
Wait, Becky probably doesn't know what a trap house is. Do you know what a trap house is, Becky?
Man, no comment.
I have a shadow. The sun is like beaming right on me.
You got a shadow?
I have a light source. Do you see it?
Yeah, it is the sun.
Yes, and it's like beaming on half of my head.
Oh, Becky, can you take that studio lighting we have here and just kind of angle it, turn it a little bit, and it'll block
the sun.
So anyway, to make a long story less long, right? Just flipped all that shit upside down. And one of the first proposals was, look, This is a trap house. It's a revolving door. Drugs, crime.
I'm sorry.
The basketball court. These niggas was outside spray painting their fucking car.
Oh, yeah.
They were spray painting. I pulled up to my mom's house one day, pulled in, and this is when my truck was like new. My shit was fresh.
It was new to you.
I still had that like showroom shine
that new,
on that
and
bitch.
That new car smell.
Yeah, so I pull in, and all I see is like black mist flying, and then pink mist. And I said, what the fuck is going on? I look over, and they are in their parking space, spray painting with cans of spray paint. They spray painted a Toyota 4Runner. It was like a 1980s Toyota 4Runner, black. And then they spray painted not only the hubcaps, but the tires, pink. That shit looked a hot mess. But they ended up getting spray paint on other
everybody's
people's cars.
Car. Right, the overspray.
Right, so it's like, yo, y'all got to get the fuck. So basically, we were about to go to court. Mom and them was about to go to court because the landlord had filed some shit.
Eviction.
They were taking the homeowner that was rented out to court. So they were like, either you're going to get rid of these tenants or we'll see you in court. And it was an absentee landlord, too.
Right.
So guess that landlord was like, yo, y'all got to go because I ain't. And then they put a for sale sign out front and sold that bitch. So say all that to say, I don't know where the fuck I was going with this.
Your letters.
Yeah, and, them letters.
And oh, no, you said all that to say you talked about the keying of your car. The insurance.
Damn,
the insurance company paid for it.
No, they did not.
But you got an estimate.
I got an estimate.
And then you talked to your insurance company.
I got an estimate. Talk to Geico.
And Geico said,
nah, bro.
Did you have comprehensive?
My shit was like damn near brand new. I had all kinds of coverage.
And Geico said no.
They said, nah, bro.
I don't understand why.
They said, nah, because it was something to do shit.
I understand why. Because body damage is covered.
Geico didn't even cover my accident when a little Spanish dude hit me.
Well, wait, wouldn't you file a claim with the other, with like the parents' insurance?
Right. You can actually, when you have comprehensive, if you file a claim, if you file against your, not against, but you use your own insurance to cover the damage, your insurance company will turn around
and bill the other.
Right. Will basically file suit or whatever to try to recoup the cost. So I don't understand why they said no.
They told me to fuck off. I think it was something about the damage not being substantial enough or something like that. It was some kind of technical bullshit.
Right.
And like I said, this car was a 2007 and this was in the year of 2007.
Right.
But and then fast forward to when that the undocumented alien hit my car.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a gas pump, chilling, pumping my gas. This dude he was putting air in his tires. Then he jumped in, and I guess wherever the fuck he's from, they don't have rear view mirrors or know to turn around. So he just guns it into the back of my shit, bends my rear bumper all the way in. Then the bastard gets out and starts trying to fix this shit. Don't speak no English. So I call the police. I'm like, yo, Popo, get down here. This dude fucking hit my car. And he trying to act like he don't speak English because they be doing that shit. And I don't care how non-PC this sounds. A lot of these people from other countries, when they get into some shit, they will sit there and no speak a English. No speak a English. Bullshit. You know exactly what the fuck we talking about. No.
Lord,
so anyway, police came down there. I'm just telling stories now. Fuck. Police came down there.
No, but it's all about insurance. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, he trying to act like he don't speak no English. He won't give me his license. He won't give me his name, yada, yada, yada. So police said, okay. So what you mean, okay? There's nothing we can do about it. I said, you're the goddamn police. You're on private property.
That's correct.
What the fuck does that have to? That's the first time I've ever heard that. You're on private property. What's that got
to
do with
that
anything?
Doesn't happen in D.C.?
No.
Like, really?
You get in an accident, it don't matter where you at.
No, normally
they do a police report.
Right. The police have jurisdiction in something that's civil. because that's what that was. It's a civil matter. It's not criminal. So they have jurisdiction criminally anywhere. But when it's a civil matter, if it's not on the street, then if it's on private property, then it's basically you two exchange insurance and take care of it
but
yourself.
Isn't it criminal if he won't give me his information?
Not really.
So all that bullshit that they teach you in driver's ed, like exchange information, I can hit. But no, because if he left, that's a hit and run.
Now, if he left the scene of a crime, then the police, you know, if he left the scene, then that within itself would be criminal because, as you said, hit and run. But he didn't leave.
So he doesn't have to give me his information. All he has to do is just stay there.
Technically.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to tell those of you who listen to us, Louisiana is one of our biggest listening areas. If you get in a car accident on private property, like a strip mall,
a Walmart
parking, tell the other person, it's okay, go ahead, don't worry about it. And then call the cops and say that that person fled after hitting your car. Because that's the only way you're going to get some shit done. So fast forward, the insurance company, the whoever's car that this undocumented, like the police came back and was like, he's not a resident, whatever, whatever. So I'm like, yes, that motherfucker's going to jail, build the wall, send his
sanctuary
ass back.
Sanctuary city.
Yeah, we are a sanctuary.
They do not enforce immigration. That's correct.
That shit pissed me off. So she let him get back into the car. Like, dude, you're not even a citizen. You're not licensed to drive.
And you know what that is? You know what that's called?
Negligence.
It's called selective enforcement.
That's called negligence. Because he could go out there and kill somebody because his ass don't know how to fucking
drive.
Right,
and guess what? There are not many, but there are instances where undocumented people will kill someone. And basically what you have is them getting deported. Psh,
the dude that, shit. The Geico. Okay, so the other person had raise that light a little bit. Since the other person had car insurance, the car owner had car insurance. Geico got their information. Geico called them. I called them. We was trying to file a claim. So they made multiple phone calls to the owner of the vehicle.
Right.
No answer. They sent multiple letters out to the address that was on file. No response. Right. So Geico calls me one day and says, we've exhausted all of our everything
no,
we
Lord,
can do.
Lord.
And basically, yo, we can't do anything because the owner of the other vehicle will not respond to us.
That's
same
right.
thing happened to fucking Becky.
Right.
So what ended up happening was I had to pay my deductible and get Geico to fix my shit.
Right.
So then Geico turned around and recovered some of
the money from
some of right. not all of it. Same thing happened to Becky. Somebody hit her at a mall parking lot. Someone was nice enough that was sitting in the parking lot to leave a note on her vehicle
to say,
that said,
this person hit you.
This is their license. Becky called. Becky went down to that person's and it was a chick named Cinnamon or some shit. Wasn't that her real name? Cinnamon.
That was on her plate.
Stop it, Cinnamon.
Okay. So Cinnamon, yeah, that was on her license plate. So Cinnamon then ran into Becky. So Becky went down, talked to the insurance company. Cinnamon wasn't answering her phone. Cinnamon wasn't returning the calls. So they told Becky to fuck off. I'm like, yo, that's some motherfucking bullshit.
Right. And it's basically because we need to investigate to make sure that our client was at fault. So if I can't investigate and I can't ascertain whether or not my client is at fault, you know, think about it. Insurance companies are going, their goal is to make money, not pay out money.
Right.
And you can pay an insurance premium for 20 years.
Regularly.
And the minute that you need to utilize this insurance, they will do everything within their power not to pay out.
And that doesn't matter what kind of insurance.
It is.
Any kind
of
insurance.
Medical, homeowners, auto.
They will find any reason.
They will try. I mean, think
not
about
to pay on the claim.
Think about medical insurance and how people try to seek medical help, but they need their insurance company to okay the treatment. and how many people actually pass away because the insurance company refuses to allow them or refuses to pay for the treatment. But you've paid into this medical insurance, as we said before, regularly for most of your life.
That's that bullshit, too. We actually have a mutual friend who needed some kind of procedure done. Now, much like this other acquaintance with their vehicle, I think this was kind of insurance fraudish because I think it was cosmetic, as did a lot of the doctors. But she found a doctor to say that this happened as a result of her having kids, right?
You know what? That was a needed procedure.
She was walking around fine without
it. But her muscles were weakened, and that would have basically led to other issues down the line. This was preventative.
She could have done sit-ups.
No, not when you have a hernia that splits open.
Nah, I think it was cosmetic. Because did she not get like a tummy tuck and all kinds of other shit with that?
Not when you have a hernia that splits open and your intestines are basically moving through that hernia.
That
is going to cause other problems.
So what I was told in that situation was my abs were expanding or they were stretched from carrying the kids.
But it was several different things. So abdominal muscles basically were shredded because this is a very small person. And they carry two large children in their body. So abdominal muscles were shredded, had a hernia repair prior to getting pregnant. And that hernia repair basically split open. Intestines were moving through this hole. And I mean, as I said, would cause complications down the line. So it was medically necessary.
But was the tummy tuck medically necessary?
Well, in order to accomplish the other things.
Go ahead, try to lawyer this shit up.
I'm not trying to lawyer. In order to accomplish the other situations, you know, that was just a byproduct of the medical necessitous.
Was the lipo?
Treatment.
The lipo, that was medically necessary?
No lipo was just.
What about the new belly button?
Well, when you get rid of skin, when you pull things down,
Why don't they do that shit with these weight loss surgeries then?
Because it's not medically necessary.
So it's medically necessary when.
But from what I understand, see, we're talking about insurance fraud. So let's talk about how in this particular way you can defraud Medicaid or Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have surgery to weight reduction surgery, all right. And afterwards, you have all of this skin. Medicare, Medicaid will not pay for the removal of the skin because that is cosmetic.
Mm-hmm.
But if you continually go back to the doctor and you tell the doctor that this skin constantly irritates you in certain places, that you are unable to keep this skin, not only unable to keep it clean, but you're unable to keep it dry and you can't keep it well because the constant friction causes the skin to peel, and which can lead to infection if left untreated, and you constantly have to treat it and you just keep going back and forth. What the doctor will do is make a request for Medicaid to pay for the excessive skin removal. And whammo. And that bit little nugget was actually given by a nurse in a doctor's office that performs these weight loss surgery.
So my mama, I think, committed insurance fraud then.
Is that right?
Mama wanted to get a breast reduction, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say, I don't know the size of my mama's breasts, but they were really fucking big. So she wanted to get them reduced.
You know what?
So she wasn't having back pain or shoulder pain or anything like that?
The doctor said. Okay. After they denied it the first time, doctor came back and said, come see me again, complain about your back pain. And Yeah. Mm-hmm. So mama had all kinds of back problems. You know, they did MRI. It was like, yo, this woman's back is fucked. Mama got that breast reduction. Yeah, insurance absolutely. Covered it. So that was insurance fraud.
Pretty much. Now that with that, yes, it was. And it's because there was no medically necessary reason for you to reduce your breast, wherein your insurance company will pay. You know, insurance is going to pay for anything that's medically necessary. They're not going to pay for cosmetics. But I was saying, you know, you mentioned that I actually have a cousin who had to have breast reductions because, like, her breasts were so large. Once again, she was a small person. She had humongous breasts. She had to get custom bras made to the point where there was a curvature in her back. She, her shoulders, the weight from holding the bra straps cut into her shoulders all the time. She was a mess. She couldn't, like.
Wait, was she beyond, like, the double D department?
She was, I don't know, Z something or something? Like, no, they, whatever the biggest size is what she was. And I think it was like Z something or Q something or whatever it was. I had never heard of it before. But, you know, growing up with this person, I had seen her all the time. And she was like, she kept going back to her doctor, kept going back to the doctor because of that. And she couldn't do anything. Like, she lost a job because she couldn't work. She couldn't move around like she needed to move in the job because of her breast. And so finally, after all of this, the insurance company paid for her to have a breast reduction.
Yo, the USA breast chart. So, ladies and gentlemen, for our titty segment here, we start at AA. Mm-hmm. A, B, C, D, double D, mm-hmm. or E. So double D and E are the same thing. Mm-hmm. Triple D or F. Mm-hmm. G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O. Yep. We go to O.
All right. So like I said, whatever the largest size was, she was that.
Damn.
It was huge.
O is size. Wow. Okay. I'm going to just leave this tab open. See if it has some pictures later on.
Stupid. But yeah, she was huge.
So she got, it was a medical necessity.
But what your mom did would be considered
jail time.
Medical insurance fraud.
Mama, you going to jail. Right. Finally got you. Okay, so let's go back to this car real quick, right?
All
right,
so you know what? We never said when we talk about insurance fraud, it's auto. It's medical. It's life insurance. Homeowners, do you know that you can commit insurance fraud via your homeowners if you have damage and then you exacerbate the amount of the damage
have? You need a new roof and then that tornado comes and then you get a new roof because the tornado damage.
So that your roof already had damage and it's just regular wear and tear. And then the tornado comes through and you attribute the damage to your roof to the tornado, insurance fraud.
So, ladies and gentlemen, what you have learned today is my letters displace niggas.
And if you need a breast reduction, mm-hmm. you know what to say. If you need excess skin to be removed, you know what to say.
That's actually what I wanted to touch on too real quick is not only, so you mentioned the, okay, can't keep it dry, it's irritating, this and that. Another avenue you can take is psychological.
I don't know if the insurance company would pay for psychological damage.
I think it's been done.
By?
I want to say it's been.
By your mom?
Nah. My mom ain't. She just scammed a breast reduction about. No, I want to say. So we know two people that have recently had them. Okay. I want to say the one.
The more unstable of the two?
Yeah. Okay. She's the one that said her psych doctor or whatever can get that taken care of. Now, again, grain of salt. But so, yeah, we did learn how to scam insurance companies. We learned that I also have some unscrupulous acquaintances with their whole vehicle situation.
Oh, wait, you know something else? Let me mention this. The people involved, meaning the people who have the homeowners or the auto or the medical insurance, are not the only people that can commit insurance fraud. Doctors, claim adjusters, insurance providers, they can also commit insurance fraud. So doctors, you get in a car accident, you're perfectly fine. But you go and see a doctor that tells you you need to file a lawsuit so that you can get some money via medical insurance.
Mm-hmm.
That is insurance fraud.
Workers' comp.
Claim adjusters who literally look at damage and go, oh, yeah, that's about $10,000 worth.
Or they say, oh, yeah, that tornado and the acid and the rain and
well,
the contaminant.
Well, all I have to say, in that case, it is not you that's committing the fraud. It is the adjuster. And then you also have these providers, these insurance providers who commit insurance fraud by taking your premium and pocketing the money.
Hmm.
Also, don't forget about the regular Joe criminal that goes around hitting people.
Exactly right, babe. That's right.
I'll close with this one. A previous guest. And they're going to be a, they're going to come back on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So back, I want to say episode 22, we had Marie come through to talk about the murder of her son. It was an unsolved murder at That's the time. Right. She had a life insurance policy on him, right? So she was turning down donations after his passing. He, people, and that's typically, I want to say that that's what our community does. Because being that I've seen both sides of the fences, haven't really seen that much in white families. But I think that's something our people do is when someone passes, we know that you're going to have a financial burden and toss you a couple of dollars. So she was turning down all donations because she had a life insurance policy on this young man. So come time to pay, life insurance said, nope, not giving you a damn dime because you committed insurance fraud, basically.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean I committed insurance fraud? Well, her son was a felon. And apparently that's a question that they ask you on the, I guess, life insurance application.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't even technically fill out this application. It was an agent through this insurance company came through. Anybody want life insurance? Came through her place of work. Anybody want life insurance? So she was like, well, shit. Yeah, I need it on my son. So boom, insurance company said, nope, we're not paying you nothing. And they didn't pay.
Right. She had paid these premiums for a little bit.
Oh, they gave her premiums back. Yeah, that was it. Uh-huh. That was it.
Yep. So beware. You know, I made mention of the insurance providers. Well, producers are the ones who actually sell you the insurance. So be wary of insurance producers, any types.
One other tidbit of whenever you are dealing with a death. Never tell them how much insurance, like at the funeral home,
mm-hmm.
never tell them how much of the value of your insurance.
They will gouge you,
man.
They will gouge you.
You know what? That's going to be a future episode too, because that happens. Not only does that happen, there's a whole bunch of shit after you die. Well, not after you die, but after a loved one dies that those funeral homes and funeral directors do they want to fuck you out of as much money as possible. So until then, I have been one of your hosts, Dan. I'm going to apologize again. I have to keep issuing apologies. Let's see. I apologize for the video quality if the video comes out with this because we tried to move back out to the pool house and it wasn't such a good idea. That's it. I'm Dan. You can catch me on IG and Twitter at I am Dan on Drugs.
This has been another insurance adventure with Afro Becky. Thanks for listening.
Yes, and I am just Anne. You can follow me at ITEL Legalize.